favourite, Dr. Sam Kovac from Southern Cross Veterinary Clinic. He joins us because we're talking about, well, I suppose it's nutrition for your puppy dog and your pussycat. We fuss over our own diets and nutrition, so it's time we look after our pets. Did you know that more than 40% of dogs and 35% of cats in Australia are classed as overweight or obese? The life expectancy of dogs in particular decreases by 2.5 years on average when they live an unhealthy weight. And pet nutrition experts are concerned as the obesity figures rise. But what can you do? It's so easy to give your puppy dog or your pussycat a treat, isn't it? Sam Kovac joins me this afternoon. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Brent. Great to talk to you again.
Likewise. How are you?
Very good. I'm jealous of the chicken schnitzels there. That's my favourite food.
Is it really?
Can you pay me one?
Yeah. We were talking about chicken schnitzels and Vienna schnitzel, as in veal schnitzel, and beef, and God, all sorts of things. It was a funny afternoon's conversation.
I had last night upside-down schnitzels for dinner. So first coated in breadcrumbs and then egg on the outside. It's delicious.
I've never heard of that before.
Upside down schnitzels. Because, you know, after, if you have leftover schnitzels, they're not really crispy.
Yeah.
Because the crumbs are always quite soggy. If you coat it with egg afterwards, it doesn't matter because it's like a battered schnitzel that you can still have in wraps and things. I love it.
There you go. Wow. Okay. Let's talk food, not for us. Let's talk food and nutrition for our pets, our puppy dogs and our pussycats. You say beware of fad diets and cure-alls, especially for dogs with sensitivity and skin issues.
Mm. So we see this a lot at the clinic. From time to time, we see a lot of these fad diets coming through. Right now, it seems to be grain-free and coconut oil for their dogs and cats with skin problems, and seems to spread all over social media. But really, neither of those two diets or the supplement has much evidence in science. And we see far too many dogs and cats being fed this one prescription diet that the owners have found online. So grain-free kibble with a spoon of coconut oil on top, and that's all they get for the next couple of years until the next fad comes along. Right. And I think it can lead to problems like obesity, but more importantly than that, a lot of nutritional deficiencies, because dogs need variety. Cats don't need as much variety. They can just survive on meat, but dogs are scavengers. They need the variety.
What do you do if your pet, be it a dog or a cat, has put on a few kilos and is overweight? I suppose just going for a walk with your dog helps, but what can you do with your pussycat? What can you do with your dog apart from, you know, regular exercise?
Yeah, it's a really tough one, and my three corgis are all a little bit on the plump side because they enjoy life and their food too much. But we've got to remember, too, it's something people don't think about. Dogs and cats, how long do they spend every day foraging for food, hunting for their food? It's probably the vast majority of the day, Brent. They were on the hunt trying to find what to eat. But nowadays we give them their whole daily or half-daily calorie requirement into their bowl, and it's gone within a few seconds, like in my dog. So I think really focusing on portion control, feeding more frequently too. A lot of people feed once a day for convenience, but if you can feed twice, three, up to four smaller meals a day, just like us, you get the metabolism speeding up, and naturally they should lose a little bit of weight. Of course, exercise helps, but it's all about calories in, calories out, just like with us. So keeping the portions smaller and more spaced out is a good way to start.
How important for your pussycat or your puppy dog is variety in their diet?
Yeah, so for dogs, if you think about how they evolved with us for the past 40,000 years, they've been hanging around our campsites and water holes and things when we were cavemen. That's how they evolved into the dogs they are, from the wolves that they were, really. And so in return for giving us warmth and protection in our camps, they got the tidbits of the food. And so evolution naturally selected for dogs that had more of a kind of cast iron constitution that could get nutrients from a variety of different food sources, whether it's vegetable, fruit, meat, dairy, whatever we were eating. So for dogs, it's really important to remember that they've still got those genes from back when they were wolves, and variety is really important to keep them healthy, just from an evolutionary point of view. Cats are a lot more simple. they're obligate carnivores. They can get everything they need from meat, all the amino acids, all the building blocks of life, really, they can get from meat. So you can happily keep a cat in perfect health, just giving it the flesh and any other animal protein.
With puppy dogs, what are no-nos that you should never, ever feed your dog? Because, look, they become part of our family. They sit at our tables or beside us at our tables, for goodness sake. And, you know, your cat would probably turn its nose up at a slice of pizza, but your dog would probably munch it down very quickly.
Yeah, and I think this one's really important for listeners who have infants at home, because infants love feeding tidbits off the table, whether it's good for the puppy dog or not. So the typical ones are grapes. They can really cause a kidney failure problem. Onions can cause anemia in dogs and cats as well. Garlic can be really hard to digest and lead to wind, just like with us, really. And chocolate, it can cause heart problems. But one interesting thing, and it might be a bit controversial to say, dogs can actually have a few licks of red wine every night, Brent.
Can they?
And I would encourage a very small consumption to owners of pets with arthritic issues or inflammatory issues, for sure. So everyone thinks, well, wine must be toxic because grapes are. They're bad for the kidneys, right? But through the process of aging the wine, the fermentation, and also the wine grapes being much more ripe when they're harvested from the vine, the amount of tartaric acid, which is, that's the toxic part to grapes, is much, much less in red wine. And you get the benefit of resveratrol that everybody's heard about, the anti-aging, anti-inflammatory properties. So I'm not talking a whole goblet, but a teaspoon every couple of nights would be just fine for the average-sized Labrador.
So I suppose you just mix that wine in with the food.
Well, you could. You could even cook with a bit of red wine and get rid of any alcohol if you're worried about that for the pet. But yeah, my corgis love a little bit of Shiraz every so often.
A recent trick that you've got for your corgis is to sprinkle parmesan, grated parmesan. You say it goes between the kibble, so they lick it up. What's the benefit of parmesan to your dog's diet?
So I think if you've got a dog that you want to eat kibble, so that kind of boring food that you get from the vet or supermarket and they don't really like the taste of it or leave some behind for the Indian miners and rats to eat, parmesan is a really tasty, nutritious way that you can flavour the kibble. So you can even get it in like those shaker cans at the local supermarket nowadays. So just mix it in with the kibble, the bits of parmesan fall in amongst the kibble and coat it, and the dogs have no choice, and cats as well, they've got no choice to, if they want to get to the parmesan, they've got to eat the kibble. So that's a good way, kind of like, I guess, parents trying to disguise vegetables in all sorts of sauces,
yeah,
and cheesy things for kids. We do the same with our pets.
Kitty cats. Cats can't live on dog food. Dogs can eat cat food, but cats can't eat dog food.
That's right. And it comes back to that obligate carnivore thing. So dogs would love to eat cat food all day long, and they can actually thrive on it. Again, it comes back to that variety and having that constitution that can make use of whatever dogs' tummies are thrown at them. But, yep, cats, they can have a bit of dog food every so often, but it doesn't have all of the amino acids that it needs to keep them healthy. And remembering that they're carnivores, anything apart from animal protein in a cat diet is just going to be pooped out. So if you don't want to be cleaning up the kitty litter too often or having smelly poo around the house, just feed them meat or a really meat-based diet.
True story, I had a German Shepherd and a cat. We used to feed them together. And, you know, you'd feed them, you were busy, life was busy, you'd feed them, you'd move on. And Kitty's bowl was always clean, and I thought, good on you, Kitty, you loved your food. I found out that it was the dog moving the cat out of the way and eating the cat food first, then eating the dog food.
Well, I don't know if I was your cat, if I would argue with the shepherd too, but I've seen a lot of cats put up a fight if a dog would approach their food bowl. Maybe yours just exercised restraint.
Maybe I did. I've got to say, we lived on site, and we had a restaurant, and the cat knew the day, each day that the chefs would do the ducks. So the cat would turn up at the back door for, don't ever tell me cats aren't smart, the cat would turn up every Tuesday afternoon. It was duck day. And the chefs, you know, cut down the ducks. And the little pussycat would turn up at the back of the restaurant door, and the chefs knew they gave the pussycat the cut off from the ducks.
Wow.
So she got duck was, it was Tuesday, duck day for her. There you go.
Not even smelling it. She just knew the
She knew the day, she knew the time, and she was there, and they gave it to her. It became a habit, yeah. Smart cat. Sam, how do you read the back of a pet food bag? It's just got so much information on it.
I think it's more important now than ever, since there's so many different kinds of dog foods and cat foods on the shelf. Like, you've got to know what you're looking for. And a lot of people don't realize it's actually legislated. Those pet food companies need to have a guaranteed analysis and ingredient list. So if you're paying top dollar for a premium dog or cat food, you really want meat to be the number one ingredient. Legally, they have to list the ingredient list in descending order of how much is in that bag. So the number one ingredient will probably be like 3/4 of the diet, and then everything after that, less and less and less. So if you've got cereal byproduct meal that's so common in the cheaper cat foods as the number one ingredient, you know what you're going to be doing. You're going to be cleaning up that kitty litter box too often. And again, if you're paying top dollar, best to have meat, meat, or even they talk about meat byproduct meals, which sound gross, but that's really everything that's not the flesh of the animal. So organ meats are considered byproducts. They can be quite healthy for dogs and cats too. So check the number one ingredient. That's my tip.
Last but not least, supplements. Cooler months, arthritis for your puppy dog or your pussycat. Some suggestions for supplements to help with arthritis for your dog or cat?
Yeah. Comes down to this whole fad thing again, right? There's going to be different supplements that are in fashion at the moment, but I think you can't go past marine oils for dogs and cats with arthritis in the cooler months. Help to lubricate the joints, reduce inflammation, and I'd say don't get caught up in whether it's krill oil, salmon oil, fish oil. All of the marine oils are good, even crab oil and crustaceans. So marine oils for sure. Turmeric, that kind of yellow cooking ingredient, can be added to pets' food, just a normal one that you'd add as a spice to cooking. That's an anti-inflammatory. Quercetin's a really great up-and-coming one now that's in all the richly coloured fruit and vegetables, but most pets don't really want to eat beetroot or squash, I guess. So getting quercetin in a tablet form is more convenient. And last but not least, I really like resveratrol. If you don't want to be giving your dogs Shiraz and Cab Sav, then you can get resveratrol in the form of supplements and liquids and things. That's a really great anti-inflammatory for them this winter.
Fantastic. We've covered a lot there. Good on you, mate. I enjoy talking with you. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak soon.
Always, Brent. Good
Thanks,
on you.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. From Southern Cross Veterinary Clinic, that's Dr. Sam Kovac.